Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone. And don't worry, I don't have time limits because I can't even see the clock. So, and Karen, you can just edit out that other part that you just said. So. Well, it's great to see everyone. I think we've met everyone before, so they're all familiar faces, and it's just so wonderful to be back. We're supposed to be in Ohio today. Man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his path. So we're so glad that he pushed us right here, and we're here. So just for those, there are a few that I haven't met before. So just so that you know, we were called to Belize in May 28th of 2015. That's when we moved to Belize. So we've been there a little over 7 years. Belize is a small, tiny little country right below Mexico, and we've got Guatemala and Honduras right in that same area. So it's a tiny little country. We moved there, it was 380,000 in population. Now it's 420,000 as of this month. The population's gone up that much in 7 years because a lot of people are moving down there. And I have to put my glasses on because everything is blurry. So the saints at CLC, which is the church we attend there, is Christian Life Center, send their thanks and prayers, and are really appreciative of the support that is brought from this church that we can be there. We're very thankful. They're amazed at how small of a congregation it is, and we're a small congregation there as well. But the Lord doesn't need any size congregation to do His work, right? He just needs one person who's willing to go. That's it. So Belize is a very religious country. We have Catholics, we have Seventh-day Adventists, Oneness Pentecostal, Anglican, Mennonites, Methodists, Nazarene, House of Prayer, JWs, Muslims, Baptists, liberal Baptists, Hindus, Rastafarian Buddhists, the list goes on. So it's just kind of like a big mosh of religious groups. And the difference between Belize and here is, like, if I meet a Methodist, they say, well, I go to the Methodist church. I'm Methodist. I'm Catholic. I go to the Catholic church. There, they go to all the different denominations. So they'll go to Catholic. They'll go to Methodist. They'll go to Jehovah Witness. They go to the Mormon temple, whatever they call it. So there's no difference in denomination there. They believe that you go to any of those, and you'll be in heaven. And so there's a great deception there. People groups, there's the Mayans, the Quechis, the Garifunas, the Mestizos, the Creoles, there's Lebanese are now coming in, Chinese, Mennonite, and East Indian. So we have quite a few different languages, and so we have MP3 files that we play in those different languages. And since God is sovereign, we let Him choose what He wants to play, and He does. There are times where we've been in Belmopan preaching, and it just Spanish played. Out of 100 different tracks, Spanish kept playing, and we look around, everyone's Spanish. There was one time we were in the park preaching, and it started playing low German. And we're looking around, and we didn't see any Mennonites. And I went behind the stage, and there were 3 Mennonites there. So God knows who He's going to reach when He's going to reach them. And so we just let Him choose. Since we've been here last time, the Lord has identified a few more brothers that we didn't know existed. We prayed, ever since we got there, we prayed for those that God has saved, that to start working with, whether it be a pastor or a lay person. And I'm talking about genuine conversion, not I said a prayer or I was baptized or I walked an aisle, but someone who's been genuinely converted by God. And since we've been there, God has identified, I think, 5 churches. I lost count. I think we're up to maybe 7. There's 2 churches we're working with now, one in Santa Rosa. That's Raimundo and his wife. And then there's another church in Orange Walk, which is Raul Solis. You guys have been praying for them. He's had some bladder issues and has a surgery coming up in a month, so keep him in prayer. But through our Facebook page, which has been a great venue to get the gospel out in Belize, here you have so many social media platforms. In Belize, the only one they use is Facebook. That's it. So if they buy, if they sell, if they communicate, it's all on Facebook. And they get, the good, bad, and the ugly on Facebook. It gets pretty nasty. Like, if you go into a place and, and you buy something and they don't give you the service you want, they're going to let everyone in Belize know on Facebook. So Facebook is a huge use item there, and WhatsApp. So we've utilized Facebook, and we've been able to reach the entire population of the country multiple times with the gospel. And in doing that, God has identified those sheep that are kind of out there, but they're not being fed. There's no church that's feeding them. They've been to all the churches in the area, and they all preach a different gospel. They're just complete, mixing everything together. And so recently, God has identified Brother Samuel Dominguez and San Pedro. San Pedro is like the California here. You know, everything wicked starts in California, and then it rolls across the country. So everything wicked happens in San Pedro, and it rolls across Belize. And San Pedro is a little key right north of Belize. And, the LGBT movement, you name it, it all starts there, and it comes out of there. And I hate to say it, but it's Americans and Europeans that have brought it to Belize, because that's a big tourism area. It's probably 80% of the island is tourism, and they bring over things that the Belizeans have never even seen. And I've talked with many Belizean parents that their kids go and get a job in tourism up there, and they come back just completely just reprogrammed with so many worldly things and so many worldly ideas and concepts that they'd never heard growing up. Evolution, atheism, you name it, they come back and they say, what happened to my child? So anyways, he's there, and it's interesting. Through the posts that we had on the website, God had brought him to correct doctrine and teaching, and he was actually preaching in San Pedro, and somehow we crossed paths, but we never actually met him or heard him, but he was preaching and handing out tracts, which is exciting. And so when he had contacted me, because we have a website called freechristianbooks.bz, we have over 1,000 titles, and the whole idea was kind of like a Christian book distributors, right, but without all the junk. Good titles, solid titles, Christ-centered titles, and we ship them anywhere in Belize. So they have their own Christian book website they can go to get materials, commentaries, Bible dictionaries, whatever it is, and they order it, and then we ship it directly to them. Well, he was one of the men that did that, and he contacted me. That's separate from our website. It's completely separate. It's like nobody knows that it's part of Repent Belize, because a lot of people, they don't like Repent Belize, only because we bring the truth, and so there are a lot of Oneness Pentecostals that'll say, well, you're a heretic, and a lot of, we get a lot of that, so they say, well, don't have anything to do with them. But then the ones that say don't have anything to do with them are coming over and ordering off the website, because they have no clue that they're one in the same ministry. And we've actually had Oneness Pentecostals that have ordered materials and we've shipped it to them. And God has started to do a work in their hearts. And it's a very fascinating thing. So keep Samuel in prayer. We were going to go see him before we came here, but the Lord closed the door. And so when we come back, we're planning on meeting with him. And then there's another brother in Orange Walk area, of all places. What's his name? Kenny Gongora. He contacted me. He was in the Name It, Claim It Prosperity Gospel for many years. And he went over to Guatemala and went to, I don't know what it was, some kind of teaching that was there, and came to the Sovereignty of God and Doctors of Graces and Scripture. And God just radically transformed him. And he came back and he said, man, this isn't being taught in Belize. So he came back and he started teaching in his church. And they're slowly embracing this truth. But he didn't even have any clue that there was even a reformed work in Belize at all. He had no clue at all. And again, he contacted through Raul. He would go to Raul and he would get all the books and stuff that Raul had. And Raul said, well, you can order these on the website. And he goes, I didn't know that. And so he contacted me, and we just have been talking ever since. And it's very exciting to see how the Lord is doing what he's doing there. When we got there, we didn't know anybody, really. I mean, we knew one ministry there that had stated that they were reformed and that they believed in the sovereignty of God, and appeared to have their gospel right. But then over a period of time, God had just revealed that they were nothing more than most people. They had it all mixed, everything together, just throw everything on the table and everything's okay. Don't tell the Catholic that they need Christ. Don't tell them they can't pray to Mary. Don't tell the Adventist that Ellen G. White right is wrong. Just be nice to everybody and we can all get along with each other. And you know, if that's the approach we take, then we neglect the truth. We neglect telling the truth to someone. It's like having two bottles of medicine there and that person takes the wrong medicine, they're gonna die. They have to take the right medicine. They need Christ, right? We need Christ. He is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other way. And if we neglect our duty of looking at those that are going another way and they believe that they're going to make it into heaven, then we've neglected the duty that God has called us to. And we go in love. We compel them with tears in our voice in love that God would do a work. But we also tell them, listen, Jesus is the only way. He's not a way. He's the only way. Period. And those are the words of God. So we don't compromise. And we pray that God would keep us from compromise, because there's a lot of compromise there. There are organizations there right now. There's one called the NAAB. It's the National Evangelical Association of Belize. And they believe that they talk for every church in the entire country. And so one of the things we've had to do is say, listen, we don't have anything to do with the NAAB. They don't represent us. We don't represent them. We're completely separate from them. Because the things that they believe and they teach are completely contrary to Scripture. There's also the Council of Churches, where that even brings more even heretical organizations together. So really, when we got there, it's just nothing but a bunch of polluted wells, spiritually polluted wells. And so God has us there to bring the truth of the gospel, that these wells would be cleaned out. And as we've been preaching and as we've been going forth, God has just been doing a work. He's been calling his sheep to himself. They're hearing his voice. They're hungering for truth and righteousness. They're seeing the difference between truth and the lie, that you can, well, just get baptized and you'll get to heaven, because that's a big mantra there. You know, are you baptized? You know, how do you know you'll be in heaven when you die? How do you know? Well, I was baptized. It's a huge thing there. It's like they just go, you know, from church to church, and when they feel like they're not spiritual enough, we'll go to the next church and get baptized. We've had them come into our church. Hey, can I get baptized? Well, have you been baptized before? Like, why would you want to be baptized? Do you even know what baptism is about? Well, I was baptized 6 months ago, but, you know, like, I haven't been in the Word and everything. I want to be baptized again, you know. And so it's just so many polluted teachings, and doctrine is like a bad word. It's a bad word. Well, doctrine, all that, you know, that does this and that does that. And so we teach, we show them, listen, everyone has a doctrine, right? Everyone believes something about Scripture. And what you believe is absolutely crucial, because there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. I don't know how much time I have, but you'll just have to stop me if I run over, because I have no clue what time I started.
I'd rather hear you.
No. So there are a lot of cults there, but the difference between here and there, like I've stated before, is, you know, if you're Methodist, you go with a Methodist. If you're Catholic, you go with Catholic, or whatever it is. They're very religious in the aspect of when we hand out gospel tracts here, and we were doing some outreach in St. Louis a couple nights ago. And, you know, 98% of the people, like, get out of my face. I don't want to see that. Get away from me. And, you know, really vile in nature. They wouldn't take the tract. Well, in Belize, they think that, but they don't say it. So I remember, you know, just handing out tracts. They all take tracts. Well, this Rasta man, and they don't believe what we believe. And he just goes on by, and he turns around and comes back, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, man. Let me take that so I can get my blessing for the day. So that's what happens, is they just believe, like, holding that tract is like a lucky charm to them. If I just hold this, then somehow I've got some kind of righteousness with God. You know, I can't just pack that man up. And that's what you see. It's just all mixed and clumped together. And they don't realize that the true pandemic is sin. That's the true pandemic, right? We talk about pandemic, we all come out of this thing, and so glad to be able to, you know, breathe easy a little bit. But the true pandemic is sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They need Christ. That's who they need. They need Christ. They don't need to be dunked somewhere. They don't need to put their money in a basket somewhere. They don't need someone to give them 12 sacraments to this and 10 sacraments to that. They need Christ. That's what they need. And that's what the one thing that the gatherings, because I don't want to call them churches, that's what the gatherings bring. And we have them all around us. Just behind us, literally, I could probably throw a ball and hit their building, is the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, if anybody's heard of Bethel. Bethel is a heretical organization out of, I think, Redding, California. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about them, but they have a dead raising team. So, you know, if your child dies, then just call the dead raising team and they'll fly them out there and they'll raise them from the dead. But the hypocrisy in these false teachers is that, you know, they say one thing, but then they do another thing because they talk out of both sides of their mouth. So this dead raising team, they have this lady dies in their church. And the woman pastor comes up and she's preaching the eulogy, but yet they have a dead-raising team sitting in the congregation. And everyone's going, well, why don't you have your dead-raising team raise this lady to life? You know, you say that you can heal people, then why don't you go down to the polyclinic? People are dying down there. Go to the polyclinic, clear the place out so the nurses can go home for a while. See, if they can't do it in a controlled environment, then they're not going to do it because they're nothing more than the sons of Sceva. And we see this all the time, and it's extremely grievous, but we rejoice in the fact that God's sheep will hear His voice. It doesn't matter what they're in. It doesn't matter what kind of cult or false teaching or tradition that they're following. His sheep will hear His voice, and they will follow Him, and they won't listen to the voice of a stranger anymore. And so we're seeing that. Orange Walk District right now is probably the district that's on fire the most. We have multiple pastors there that have come directly out of the Name It, Claim It, Health and Wealth Gospel, which many of you might have heard of or maybe not heard of, but they come directly out of that and have renounced that. One brother that just stands out is Raul. He came out of that. He had planted many of those churches before God showed him. And I sat down with him one day and he says, brother, he says, I was preaching a false gospel and I planted these churches and these people are going to hell because they don't know Christ, because they haven't been born again. He said, I have to go back. I have to go back. And so he's set to go back to every church. And of course they invited him in and they let him speak and he preached the gospel. And then he called that pastor to repentance. That you're preaching the false gospel. I trained you the wrong way. I trained you in lies. I trained you in everything. You have to ignore everything I said. You need to pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. And so out of that, he's had many pastors that say, hey, we don't know what happened to you. You started in the spirit and you're ending in the flesh. But there's one pastor out of those many pastors that he had planted a church that his eyes have been open and he's coming to truth. So we're really excited about that. So Orange Walk, there's a great work, but even in our district, there's a great work. We don't always, you know, just because you can't see it doesn't mean that God's not working. You know, we have a brother there that's been added to the fold. I don't even know, 2 years ago, I'm not sure. I can't keep track of time. But I was in the chicken shop witnessing to this guy, and he's all tatted up, and he's a gangster. I mean, he was in and out of prison. He got deported from the U.S. He was just all kinds of things. And so as I witnessed to him, and he said, well, I just don't see what's wrong with drinking a little bit of rum and sleeping with my girlfriend whenever I want. I said, well, that's the problem. You don't see what's wrong with it, but God sees everything wrong with it. That's why you need Christ. You need to repent. You need to turn from that and give you a new heart. And I left that building witnessing to that guy. In my mind, I said, God's never going to save this guy. And I had to repent of that because my presupposition, I was like, you know, this guy's a bad dude. God doesn't save, you think I saved this guy? That's what I'm thinking. And sure enough, God just, it was Mike and Dawn and Scott, I think, they came over to preach with us. And we had given him a Bible before we left the chicken shop. And I told him, I said, well, we'll be out there preaching, you know. And in my mind, I'm going, he's not going to save him. If this guy's genuine, he would be there when we're there. Well, guess who shows up? He shows up with his girlfriend and his baby. And he's there and he listens the whole time we're preaching. He's standing right next to us, listening to every word we're saying. And it was like, well, something's going on with this guy. And so a series of events, you know, God saved him. We baptized him. And he's just growing in leaps and bounds. He's on fire for the Lord. And God's just using him in a mighty way. So pray for him because he has his two boys. He took them out of the custody of his ex-girlfriend because she's just living a hedonistic lifestyle. And he said, no, I don't want my kids exposed to that. So Kristen and Cordell, he's taking them into his home. He's training them in the Word. You know, he wants to see them come to faith. So keep them in prayer because that's a hard thing. He's raised and trained as a gangster from little kid. He doesn't know what it means to work. He doesn't know what it means to make a living. And we're Pastor and I are coming beside him and showing him, listen, you have to work with your hands. This is how God wants you to do these things. And so we gave him a job cutting the churchyard, and the first week or two it was really hard for him, but now he's just really excited. He's like, you know, you could tell he looks at it, he says, like, he's proud of what he did and that he accomplished that. And so we're helping him with his boys too, you know. Say, so like, listen, just give them a little project while you're cutting. Like, pick up trash or sticks, and then the one that's the most diligent, give them 2 shillings, and then the one who's not, give them 1 shilling, and say, look, your brother here, see, he did the work. You were just sitting around and just helping, you know, train him. So pray for us in that, because that's quite a work to do there as well. But there's so many other things, and I'm sure I'm probably over time now. So we really appreciate, you know, your prayers and encouragement, and we're always so excited to let them know there's so many warriors praying from this end. They don't know. That's one thing Sheila always reminds me of. You know, Pastor Gideon and May Lynn, they don't have this plethora of sisters and brothers that they can go to and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area, I need prayer. There's very, very, very few in our church. And so they, you know, she can't just email a bunch of sisters and say, be in prayer. He can't just say, email a bunch of brothers, you know. So it's a real encouragement to them to know that there's a bunch of saints they've never met that are praying for them. So we'd like to do, if anybody is willing and able, we'd like to just maybe do a short video, like a minute or two. Maybe you could say some encouraging words, and we could just have everyone in the background or whatever, and just say, like, hey, we're praying for you guys, you know. We lift you in prayer. Because they know, but then they can kind of like put a face. You don't have to say anything or whatever, but it's just an idea I had when we're coming down the road, and I said, you know, we should just shoot him a few videos, because it's a tough work there. It's a very hard work. He started as a teacher in the Methodist school, and their doctrine is completely way off. It's completely wrong, and the Lord convicted him, got out of there, and just was started preaching truth, and he's born and raised there. So everybody that knew him, they kind of like just kicked him to the curb. It's like, you know, you've gone apostate, you're a heretic, you know, and all that. So it's a difficult thing, but with the strength of the Lord, you know, we move forward, and he is glorified. So thank you for the time.